Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back in here on Cody and Gold, presented by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com. Steven Serta, Cody Tapp, Alex Gold with your reminder. You can hit us up on Twitter. Give us a follow there. Probably already follow Cody and Serta at this point. But at Alex Gold, at Cody B. Tapp, at Steven Serta, at 610 Sports KC. I love that, by the way. Dislocated shoulder. Oh, he's probably good in 2 weeks. He might be good to go in 2 weeks. Dislocated shoulder.
Football, man. I dislocated my shoulder once. It sucked. I did not think I was ready. I was letting a state finalist for wrestling show me how to do a toss, and I apparently don't know how to land.
I thought you were about to say you'd wrestled in high school or something.
No.
I was like, wow.
No.
I was pretty impressed.
In high school, there were 5 state qualifiers at Winnetonka High School. We had 5 state qualifiers. It was a pretty good year. And a state champion. But one of the state qualifiers was my buddy, and I was like, we were doing a feature video because I was in journalism then. Said, hey, give me a toss. That'll look good. But apparently in wrestling, they teach you how to fall. And I didn't even know how to fall. And so when he went to toss me, my arm shot out to catch myself. And that's when my shoulder dislocated and it felt very bad. So putting it in felt worse than it going out.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Much worse. Putting it back in felt much worse.
I feel like there's a drop there Serta can use for the future as well. I appreciate that as well. Cody and Gold here coming up in about 30 minutes. Our national cash contest. Cody, I have your next code word for you. Plus, Bink and Kling going to stop by for the forum. We'll get their thoughts on all things Chiefs and the Super Bowl. Plus, these living conditions we got to get into. So we're all headed to Miami. It's going to be a ton of fun. The entire 610 crew, all the shows are headed there Sunday morning. And we've got some interesting living conditions for about 8 days in Miami. So we're going to get into some of that. We really honestly have no idea how this is going to go. It's going to produce great content for the show, I think. Cody and I are going to get to know each other a lot more. We've done this show, this is our 15th show, I think, that we've done. And now we're going to spend 8 days. We talk 4 hours a day already on the air. And now we're going to be living together for about 8 days.
Find out who wants to be the little and big spoon. That's our situation moving forward.
You've already called Sofa.
Yep. Dibs.
I think I'm going to have to go get an air mattress or something. So we'll get into that with Kling and Bink coming up in just a little bit. Looking at
head to toe.
What's
head to toe?
It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. Agreed. I'm with Serta. There is at least one king bed. Two people are going to sleep in a bed.
Yeah, that's not happening. I already cross off the bed. Neither of us are getting the bed. That's going to Fesco and Kling, as it should.
Well, but they might want the two queen beds, which leaves
I didn't know we have 3 beds. I thought we just had a king and
No.
Okay, we'll get into this with
Kling. A king and 2 queens. We'll talk about this in a minute.
Okay.
Head to toe.
I had no idea.
It's the play.
Yeah. Somebody's going head to toe.
It's just not going to work. I'm 6'2". That's not going to work.
How do you think your height has nothing to do with the situation I just described?
In the sofa.
In the sofa it does, but a head to toe situation it does not.
In the bed, the head to toe, yeah.
It's a king size bed. Your height has no bearing.
I'm just telling you, there's no way we're getting the bed. I would be stunned.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to negotiate that, by all means, I'll let you handle that. You've got a little more staying power. I mean, I definitely can't say anything.
Yeah, you're only above, BK in sleeping conditions. That's it. That's your ranking list.
So we'll ask Kling about this coming up during the forum. But Mahomes and this Chiefs team heading in, and really this postseason, all of a sudden, Mahomes has become the leading rusher for this football team the last 2 weeks. And we all know what he's been doing with his legs. More than anything else, to me, it's because he's been healthy. And this is something that I don't know if I'll go as far as you have, where is this kind of this secret weapon almost for Kansas City at this point in time, and that it's just something that Andy Reid has been waiting to bring out. I think it is more about Patrick Mahomes is healthy, the way teams are defending the Chiefs right now, especially with Travis Kelce coming off. I'm talking about this Titans game even. The way Travis Kelce performed against the Texans, Tyreek Hill, everybody on the offense for the most part is healthy right now. Patrick Mahomes would not be able to do what he's done the last 2 weeks if this was, as week 11, whatever the week would have been, where he was still coming back from that dislocated kneecap, or prior to the dislocated kneecap against the Broncos where his ankle was bugging him. I think it's more about This is something he would have liked to have run more early in the season as well. It's just he wasn't healthy. Very early in the season, he wasn't healthy. And so I think it's more just about, all right, his ability to run has always been there, and these opportunities have existed. Now he's just comfortable. His body feels better, and now he's having success doing it because of the way teams are attacking Kansas City defensively.
But Andy has gone back to using it intentionally. Some of that stuff, like the Mahomes, the touchdown run that we will talk about for years to come, that's some freelance stuff. But Andy has been intentionally making him move. And by when I say legs, I don't necessarily mean like designed quarterback runs like they do with Lamar Jackson. But they have started to move him around a little bit, which makes them more difficult to defend. It was what was such a key part of what their offense did last year, motion. And I don't just mean pre-snap motion, motion. They like to move the offense. Everybody be moving, constantly moving, because nobody's better in the NFL than throwing back those cutback throws than Mahomes does when everybody's kind of going to one side of the field. Because as much as we talk about a receiver has the benefit of knowing where he's going, which means his route can break sooner and it's difficult for you, when everyone's running to the right, you don't know when they're going to stop, and Mahomes does. It's an added advantage, and what I've seen over the last couple of games, and why I said secret weapon versus what they had been doing, Mahomes' legs being the secret weapon is true, because Andy is now using it a way that they hadn't used it since last season. And I think teams had gotten back to the point where they weren't counting on it the same. And I do think that their offense has evolved to the point that you can't focus on it the way that maybe you had wanted to in times past too, because they are so good downfield. You can't leave a spy on Patrick Mahomes. You can't leave somebody with an option. You know, defensive linemen, sometimes they'll work with option of, look, fall back. Your job is now to contain the Mahomes run. You can't do that either, because if you let him stand back there and pick apart the defense, you're screwed. If you let the offense just get all one-on-one down the field, you're screwed. If you lead a spy to try to stop him from the running ability, that's one less person on the back part of the defense to cover him. I think it's a secret weapon. Maybe it's not secret because teams know he can run, but there is no defendable option for the running game. That is always part of what they'll be able to get. That I saw two things in that last game. He was able to run whenever the hell he wanted, and they were just giving up the flat. In an Andy Reid offense, the idea that the flat is just given up is crazy to me. Mahomes passed up two, probably 8 to 12 yard gains for passes in the flat to Damian Williams, and instead got better options down the field. If that's already what you're giving up, how the hell can you do anything to stop him from running?
That was one of the things in the Titans game that I was surprised. I expected Tennessee going into blitz Kansas City a ton, put a ton of pressure on Mahomes. And there were times in that game, and I would say more than not, where they were just rushing three, Cody, and they were so concerned about the deep ball and deep threats from Tyreek Hill, and I guess Sammy Watkins to a certain extent ended up beating him on it, and trying to bracket Travis Kelce at times as well. I think it was some of that, just the way Tennessee played them, whereas like I don't know how much in this Niners game Mahomes will be able to do that. Doesn't mean other things won't open up, because clearly they're well aware of what Mahomes has done with his feet the last couple of weeks. So, okay, what else is that going to open up? I think it's something Kansas City is going to use, but I will be very surprised if Mahomes is the leading rusher in the Super Bowl for Kansas City. I just will, because I look at the personnel for San Francisco versus what we've seen really the last 2 weeks, especially from the Titans and the way they approached, whether it was personnel and also just how they attacked the Kansas City offense. I couldn't believe that they were not putting more pressure. And the O-line for Kansas City played fantastic. I understand that. I mean, Mahomes was sacked three times in the game, and he was sacked that one time on the first drive. And after that, the O-line did a great job. But I think some of it is also just the way that the Titans attack Kansas City that I will be stunned if that's the approach the Niners take, which was kind of sit back a little bit and let Mahomes – essentially, they let Mahomes have all day back there.
If you gave me – actually, he was 3 of 9 for 19 yards under pressure, like when blitzed in that game, and significantly better when not. But also, the offensive line did a really good job. So that's a different part of that conversation. Yeah. Like part of the reason he had so much time is because the offensive line played so well in that game. But – like, if you gave me Mahomes in the field for a leading rusher, I'd probably have to take the field just based on odds. And the distribution of rushing attempts was much more split up between Damian Williams and Darwin Thompson and LeSean McCoy than it had been in the previous week when Damian Williams got all the snaps. But also, if you made me just say Mahomes or choose one other running back, I'd probably just take Mahomes. Because there's no reason at this point to see that it hasn't been that way. I've just seen so many tricks now that point of it, I think, part of the reason the run game comes up is because Andy Reid is just letting him do it. Like, Andy Reid just lets him drop back there and survey and take whatever he wants. There isn't as much gimmick in what they do in third and fourth down on those conversions that there used to be. It's not that they don't still do those little flip passes to Tyreek Hill, but it's been a lot more just straight drop back, let Mahomes pick his parts, and sometimes that comes in the running game. I just still think he's dangerous. Because in the losses, the Chiefs get run all over. In the wins, they typically are a really effective passing team. The Chiefs don't have to run the ball well to win. We know that. Versus like what the 49ers do when they're playing.
The first three plays of this past week's game, that initially I'm watching the first three plays against the Titans. I don't know if you guys had the same feeling. And just you mentioned they haven't been as gimmicky. The first three plays, specifically the first two against the Titans, seemed a little more on the gimmicky route than we had seen in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and only borderline, because that's really just within the design structure of their offense.
Right, and it just and obviously they didn't have success on the first three plays, and then it seemed like it was more about open things up a little bit. It was just a three play sample size. Those are scripted right out of the gate, and obviously Tennessee was clearly ready for those. But I'll go ahead and say, and I don't know, we'll see as prop bets come out what the over under rushing yard total for Mahomes will be. I'd be very curious.
I'll bet it's 20.
At 20, though, I have to take the over if it's 20, though. Even though I just got done saying he won't be the leading rusher, I think at 20 you almost have to, because even if his escapability, he could still break one for 15 yards at any given time.
Probably. And obviously, you'd rather give that up. Mahomes can beat you so bad deep, you'd almost rather just give up the 10-yard run sometimes than what he might do to you downfield. That's just given the opportunity. You just don't really want to risk it. It's just not worth the opportunity. Because anytime I look, you evaluate the Chiefs' loss and how it happened. We went over those last week. Hey, how are the four times the Chiefs lost during the season? Okay, one time they didn't have Patrick Mahomes. Throw that into a fire. The two other times were against the Titans and the Texans. They had an early lead against the Texans and then just kind of sputtered offensively. They had a late lead against the Texans or the Titans and then just blew it late through 2 minutes. Like, it was easy enough to diagnose. I went on the flip side of that too, by the way, and looked at what the 49ers did, because it's the same thing. Like, do they get beat by a quarterback rushing the ball when those situations occur? Because that's what you'd want to know. Like, if I'm calling it a secret weapon, is that how the 49ers get beat in there? And for the most part, they just get beat by better quarterbacks. Better quarterbacks than Garoppolo. They started the season 8-0. They outscored their opponents 235-102. That's a lot, by the way. That's an average margin of victory of about 29-12. I'm rounding. Then in the second half of the season, they finished 5-3. They outscored their opponents still, but only 244, so more offense, barely, to 208, so more than 100 more points allowed. That's an average score of 30-26.
And one of those
games, that's a defense that ranked in the top two in the NFL this season.
And one of those games was, 48-45, a win down in New Orleans against Drew Brees.
Correct. That was one of the wins.
Yeah.
One of the wins was a big chunk of those points. But the thing to take away in those losses is not necessarily about mobile quarterbacks, which Patrick Mahomes looks more mobile now than he did, and more about quality opponents. When they were 8-0, here's who they beat. You tell me when you hear a good team. Tampa Bay. Cincinnati. Pittsburgh.
Was that when Big Ben was still around?
Week three.
Big Ben, was he still around?
Yes.
Oh, I'll go ahead. At the time, I'll go ahead and say yeah.
Cleveland. L.A. L.A. was fine. They were not a bad team. They're fine. Washington, Carolina, and Arizona. Yikes. So, in which of those matchups did they have the worst quarterback matchup from Jimmy G? If you want to have some Roethlisberger.
That would be the only one, though, that I would entertain.
Other than Goff, and I would still take probably Garoppolo, although I would say that they're pretty much a wash.
Very similar.
I wouldn't say that they have the disadvantage, but it's probably just a wash of quarterbacks, right? And then in their back half of the season, they played Seattle, who they lost to. I would say Russell Wilson's better than Jimmy Garoppolo. Arizona, who they lost to. Kyler Murray, that one's kind of embarrassing. That is a mobile quarterback, and Kyler Murray cut him up pretty good. Green Bay, Baltimore, who they lost to, Lamar Jackson. I don't think that has to do with mobile quarterback as much as Lamar Jackson in MVP season.
But don't forget about that game, too. Remember, that was the rainout, washout game. Low scoring, 16-15 or 15-13. Just old school style of game, and the weather was a mess. So that one, just the game as a whole dictated, and the weather dictated things a little bit differently.
New Orleans, who they did beat with the better quarterback, Atlanta, L.A., and Seattle. The teams that they lose to are not necessarily the mobile quarterbacks, although they have lost to two. And Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson, so they should try to take advantage of that. They just lose to quarterbacks who have more talent than their quarterback.
And Arizona gave them problems both times they played this season. I think they beat them the second time, but they lost to them the first time. But it was a close game, and Kyler Murray was good in both of those games.
So you should be using his legs. Mahomes should use his legs in this game.
Well, and that's what's so impressive about him starting to use his legs now, and what makes it so impossible to defend is the 49ers are heavily reliant on their secondary and their athletic linebackers to take receivers out of the game so their pass rush can eventually get there. But what makes Mahomes so dangerous is that now he's just implementing that element of his game. Those guys can't come up to watch for him to run. They have to stick with those guys because he'll beat them deep. So that is something that I think is going to play a huge factor.
I don't see, like, the correlation for me for when they lose and when they don't has a lot to do with the caliber of quarterback they play. Like, they gave up 26 points a game in the second half of that season, and they had to play real quarterbacks.
Now
they
we can say
Russell,
that.
They had to play Russell Wilson twice. Oh, you can say that. Oh,
so wait, how many teams? That what
Kyler
exactly
Murray,
what you
who's
just
gotten
said?
Better, Matt Ryan, Drew Brees, Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers, Jared Goff. Those are all quarterbacks. So I just, it's the same thing that we talk about the run defense. Like, I'm supposed to just accept that the 49ers are a great defense. And while I think they are a very good, maybe they're a great defense, I will point out that their worst version of their defense was giving up 26 points a game to good quarterbacks. A few great quarterbacks, a lot of good quarterbacks. That should stand some sort of factor in
when
they lose these games.
It absolutely does, and that's why, in any time you're going to have Mahomes in the equation, that is always going to be part of the conversation, and that is always going to be the advantage that every single game you're going to have.
Yes.
No matter how good that defense is, you're going to say, well, how do they fare against some of these other good quarterbacks, or in some cases, great quarterbacks. Russell Wilson certainly is the one that comes to mind right off the bat. And those are fine conversations to be had, but Mahomes is above all those guys we just mentioned as well. I mean, if you're trying to look at,
although Russell Wilson's had a great year and
he's
a great quarterback.
Russell Wilson was more in the MVP conversation than Patrick Mahomes ever was this year, for sure.
Yes, and Aaron Rodgers is also a great quarterback, but in the twilight, let's say, of his career. So he's not the same caliber of quarterback as Patrick Mahomes today. Let's not say career-wise yet, but today he's not the same caliber. I wonder how they don't, like, I think that's somewhere they need to expose. I think, and sort of pointed out in the show that, like, their linebackers are better, right? So they might be able to close the gap a little bit better. So maybe 15-yard runs are only 8, but they're still 8. Like, that should be part of their designed running game. For the Chiefs, they don't have to hand it to Damian Williams 27 times in order to make this work. I'm not saying that it needs to be a designed run as much as make sure that there are lanes for him if the options aren't deep. Because, I don't think they can just cave on those. They can't let their receivers go to worry about Mahomes, because if they do that, Mahomes will absolutely torch them.
Yeah, the quote after the game, even from Andy Reid, quote, it's just part of the game. He knows that. I don't have to tell him anything on that. It helps, especially with stuff like coverage they're presenting. They have the ultimate respect for him. They're doubling our guys. You aren't just getting one guy doubled, but two guys doubled. And that speaks to, that gets into the weapons conversation and how much this offense, now that, I mean, think about what Sammy Watkins' performance in this postseason can do for you. Not even if he doesn't have the big stats in the Super Bowl, but just because he's coming off that big game, it's like truly, truly pick your poison. What on earth are you going to do against this Chiefs offense?
And that's the question. Where you give up the running yards to, I think the short passing game might matter more in this game than it has for the while in the Chiefs, because they've been getting some deep threats. That short passing game was always the threat when he couldn't move. He can move again.
Over on the Smitty's Garage, Burger and Beer text line 69306. Someone points out that the Cardinals actually did not beat the 49ers this year. Should have, but the Niners did not lose to Arizona this year. I did look that up.
Oh, sorry.
They actually did not lose to them. Also, the 49ers are 1-2 against
Seattle. That's who lost to them. I was getting them mixed
up. Seattle struggled, I guess, against them. But despite the loss, he, being Kyler Murray, was able to get his in those games. So something to keep an eye on. And when we have some of these former players on, it'll be interesting to get their perspective on Radio Row, just about what they see from Mahomes and the adjustment in his role in running the football. As you said, you know, some of it is by design, but a lot of it has been just when it's been there, he's been able to take
it. He takes it when it's there.
No doubt about that. Coming up in 12 minutes, your next chance at our national cash contest, $1,000 on the line, plus the Forum. Kling and Bink going to be in studio with us. We'll have some fun with those guys, talking about a trip down to Miami, some of the living conditions, and also a phone call we got yesterday about Super Bowl weddings. And see if they're on your side, Cody, or mine. I guess Cody and Serta's side on that. But the officiating, what's been nice, the officiating has not been, the last two games for Kansas City, a huge topic. You know, Kansas City has won both of these games. Yeah, there's a pass interference call here or there that somebody might debate, but the officiating hasn't been at the forefront. when there has been officiating, it's been a huge topic immediately after the games. Well, in games, I don't think any of us expect what a commentator, what an analyst has to say during a broadcast is something that at the time can actually impact what is happening on the field. We can all give our analysis after the fact or on Twitter, but none of that is getting back to the referees, right? Or at least that's what we thought, but that might not actually be the case, Tony Romo.
According to a report from Pro Football Talk for NBC Sports, the NFL doesn't have a sky judge, right? Like somebody who just watches the TV feed and then does things based on what he sees on the TV, penalty or otherwise. But they do have people who listen into those things. And at a point during the Chiefs and Titans game, there was a flag for 12 men on the field, and it was not thrown until after Tony Romo had said on the broadcast that there were 12. And that's one of those flags like illegal motion or illegal formation that they throw immediately. I'm not saying that's an easy job to try to count up the guys. I probably would forget to do it. But I don't want what Tony Romo says on the broadcast, even if it is the right call, I don't want TV broadcasts to affect calls that happen on the field.
How does it get there that quickly? I mean, I would love the sky judge, like a true official that's a sky judge saying, hey, you missed this. Let's get this correct.
So I think they're listening and have headsets. It's not that hard.
Oh, it would be fine. I'm just wondering though, why are there NFL officials? Why are they listening to Romo anyway? To me, they shouldn't even be listening to the broadcast in that regard.
Former NFL referee Terry McCauley, who's now the analyst, yep. Right? He had said it looked like the referees talked to New York after that play had taken place for the 12 men on the penalty. So take it what you will. Tony Romo said it. Terry McCauley, who used to do that job, said it certainly looked like they were talking to New York. York has the game on.
I understand they have the game. I would hope they have the game on. Of course they have the game on, but yes. Why are they listening? Why are they listening to Romo that intently?
I don't like it. I don't know why they are. I don't like it.
They should have that game on mute.
I don't want Tony Romo being like, boy, that looks like pass interference. So, then they dial up pass interference calls.
So we're blaming Tony Romo for the refs being bad at their jobs?
No. Romo's good here. He's fine for calling out the job.
I'm not going to blame Tony Romo for anything. Romo's just making observations as the game goes on.
No, blaming New York, blaming Al Riveron for not having his crew ready to go and for them not to recognize it right away.
In fairness,
it's the back judge who's at the back of the play is the one that's supposed to be counting the players on the field.
Well, I'm sure we're all just going to admit that for every play, we would always remember to count.
If that's your job and you're in that rhythm, I think you do. Yeah, you probably count it in your sleep.
If you got to put like a play sheet on your arm like the quarterback does to remember to count all the players and do it.
A checklist before the snap, the ref's like.
I got to be honest. I would screw that up. Even if it were my job, it feels like the easiest screw up part. Like you're standing back there and you're like, all right, got to count to 12. And then you're like, oh man, what happened on that last play? Oh God, I was supposed to count to 12. That's probably there's 11. It's fine. And then, like, the other time, you'd be like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Wait, did I count that guy? 11? Was I at 12? I better count again. Hut, hike.
If that's the case, then we should have the sky judge, and that sky judge's job. The field, they shouldn't even have to worry about counting anymore. Somebody up as the sky judge that automatically counts before the play. And literally, only way you can be called for 12 men on the field should be from the sky judge up top.
Great. It's like they only want to use replay for stupid things. When it's just as easily like Serta could sit in there and Serta's definitive job is to just count to 12. He's got no other responsibility. He's just supposed to count to 12. Or we let Tony Romo do it. I don't really care who handles it.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised.
The referee in the field, it's a lot going on to also just like, it's easy to remember small show things in your life. The idea of counting to 12 also feels like it would be a large challenge in the midst of like hurry up and things going on. And sometimes there's a lot you got to do in a game.
There's no way, right? In some of those hurry up situations, there's no way you almost in some of those substitutions unless they're holding and you know the defense gets the chance to make the substitution as well. Like, how are you able to count? How are those refs able to do it so quickly?
People aren't supposed to be coming off the field all that quick, so hopefully you're fine. But again, prayer. You're just hoping. You know how easy it is to miscount something quickly? Like, how many chips do you have? Six. It's hard. It's just not that hard.
Shouldn't be surprised when the NFL is still using chains and to figure out first downs, though. So we shouldn't be surprised by any of this. Oh, oh, oh,
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.